You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Let's meet your team.
It's okay, I'm not okay.
Each member is chosen for his or her own completely unique set of abilities.
I need to feel the raindrops on my head, on my head.
Hey guys, sorry I'm late. Had to go number two.
Good to know.
Is this thing a dog?
A dog? What kind of dog do you think it is, mate?
I'm gonna go with Afghan hound.
Oh my god, is it a werewolf?
Yo, they stabbed me next to a werewolf! Yo, let me out!
Hey, he's not a werewolf, okay? He's a weasel.
He's harmless. I mean, he's not harmless. He's killed 27 children, but, you know.
Your mission is to destroy every trace of something known only as Project Starfish. Any questions?
Starfish is a slang term for a butthole. Think there's any connection?
No.
No. Hello and welcome to the show, lovely, lovely listeners. Now, today, I think it's fair to say we are reviewing a very different kind of movie. And for that reason, I have assembled a team just for the occasion.
Fucking hell, some team.
But like the Suicide Squad themselves, we have lost a few along the way. We lost our very own Peacemaker, John. Very ironic name. So,
Peacemaker.
Yeah. Then we lost Ratcatcher Emma. We lost Ratcatcher Emma.
Yep.
On top of that, sadly, we lost Lucy, aka Mongal.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Also didn't make it. Absolute shambles.
She's not going to like that.
So at the end, you're left with the absolute joke team of Polka Dot Man and Weasel, Len and Gaz, respectively. Yeah. So just to clarify, I am not the Weasel. Uh-huh. Okay.
You're the absolute lunatic polka dot man who sees his mum in everybody.
Yes. In a way, I do. So, and you know my mum. So, to be honest with you, imagine that, seeing Joy, that's her name. So, hi mum,
Joy.
If you're listening. You're definitely not. But she's definitely not listening. But imagine seeing her everywhere. Terrifying, in a way. So,
mate, I still have nightmares.
That's fair.
I can tell you, as soon as I saw fucking Weasel, I was like, brilliant. Weasel. Can't wait for Len to call me this guy when we do the pod. Yeah.
Let's crack on. How are you doing? How's your mental health, Weasel? How's your swimming? Is it good, bad?
I'm an all right swimmer. Not particularly strong, but I'm not dying immediately. I'm not landing in the water and dying. I will give myself some credit there.
We're in lockdown again, aren't we? So I was gonna go to the cinema to see this one. You were not invited. It was a date night.
I'm still cut up about that. Well, this is the thing. Let me explain. You put out the call. You said, "All right, listen, team. We are
the
doing
bat signal.
We're doing Suicide Squad." So, you know, go and see it as soon as you can. I was like, all right, brilliant. This would be good chance for me to go to the cinema with Len. We haven't done that for a little while. Mm-hmm. What was the last time we went?
Tenet, a very long time ago.
That was a while ago.
Jesus.
So I was looking forward to that. And anyway, the call never came. So I was like,
Didn't
all right, we'll see what happens. Didn't come. Then we got put into lockdown on Thursday, and you said, correct, oh, well, that's ruined my plans to go to the cinema.
Yeah.
And you're planning on going without me, even though we needed, yes, to watch this film to talk about it together. Yeah. You weren't going to invite me along.
Nope.
That's mad.
Sorry, mate. That's what happens. Sometimes, you know, you got to...
Times have changed.
Yeah, they have. People, you know, get older and that. No, but genuinely, it was date night. So, you know, you have again, to have some... Can't have you just tagging along on date night. It doesn't make any
definitely
sense.
Definitely can. Ask Mel. She would be happy for me to come.
Mm. So, unfortunately, that was literally... We're in Australia, everyone. Melbourne, to be precise. And basically, that lockdown got announced for like 4... It got announced at like 4 p.m. to start at 8 p.m. that night. My booking or viewing at the film was 7:30 that night. So, for fuck's sake, here we go. So, ended up being a home viewing experience, which I think... was, you know, fine in terms of an experience, but definitely really wanted to see this in the cinema, I think, especially because I think, and we'll get onto it in a minute, but this film definitely feeds off of some laughs and some moments. But anyway, we're talking about James Gunn's Suicide Squad.
Feeds off some laughs and some moments. Yeah, good.
Some moments, yeah.
That's true.
Put that on James Gunn's poster. Suicide Squad. Put that on the poster. It's James Gunn's Suicide Squad. It is not a real follow-up to the 2016 Suicide Squad. That one's just called Suicide Squad. This is called The Suicide Squad. So it's kind of a comic book movie in the realest sense, in terms of it just feels like an issue or a couple of issues of a comic that the story's been spread over. Its current standings on Rotten Tomatoes, Gareth, which is tradition here. We have our own rating system, obviously the Blueberry system, but the Rotten Tomatoes rating system has scored it 92% fresh. And the synopsis says, enlivened by writer-director James Gunn's singularly skewed vision, The Suicide Squad marks a funny, fast-paced rebound that plays to the source material's violent, anarchic strengths. Great little summary of that. Good use of the English language there. Now, we have something called the Blueberry system. Now, how, yes, that works, between 0 and 5, 0 is the lowest, 5 is the highest. There are no half points. You can't go 3.5 blueberries.
It's groundbreaking stuff.
This is a groundbreaking scale. So, any first-time listeners, this is how, if you listen to any of our podcasts, this is how we review things. Harsh, but fair scale. Weasel. Tell me what you thought about this film, please. And I'm going to shake things up a little bit, because what we used to do is just go straight off the bat, hey guys, there's spoilers. What I want to do today, Weasel, is I would like to basically have a sort of non-spoilery discussion at the start. So anyone who's listened to this who hasn't seen the film yet and is just interested in our take, we're going to talk about the film and review it in a sort of non-spoilery way. After the advert, completely spoiled, okay? So, my friend, the Weasel, what was your thoughts on James Gunn's Suicide Squad?
how many times are you going to say it until I bite?
Well, weasels do bite, so...
I'm going to call you Sebastian the Rat. So Sebastian the Rat.
That's a cool character.
Yeah, well, maybe... Cool character. Sebastian the Rat. I will tell you what I thought of the film. I really liked it. I really liked it. And I have to be honest, even though I knew that this was getting more positive reviews than the previous Suicide Squad, I wasn't particularly enthusiastic about watching it. It was a bit of a chore.
The idea of watching it was a chore, you mean, but not actually watching it?
The idea of watching it was a chore. Yeah. I had to psych myself up to do so. But I'm glad I did. The first half of the film in particular really got me in. It's like I know it's obviously James Gunn, and that might explain what I'm about to say, but it's DC's answer to Guardians of the Galaxy, only it's much more violent and visceral. But it shares a lot of the sort of perversion of superhero movies, if you know what I mean. And it's obviously very comic book in style. I did much prefer the first half to the second half. I think it struggles a little bit as a Sorry, hold on. Just clarify the rules again for me. What are we doing spoiler-wise?
Just don't spoil anything major. You know, just give us a general synopsis.
Okay, all right. No, that's fine. I'm going down the right track, I think. It struggles a bit when it tries to grapple with a proper narrative. Do you know what I mean? And I don't think it executes that particularly well. What it does brilliantly is humor and comic book humor and some cool, very, very unique characters. And the violence is excellent and funny. However, I'm going to give it 4 blueberries, which is a very good score.
Ooh, very good score.
Because I had a really good time watching it for about 80% of the film. And, you know, 4 out of 5 blueberries is 80% of the scores available. So I think that's fair.
Pretty good. Pretty good score. I mean, I thought you'd like it more. Now, I think, and we've talked about this several times, that we are getting superhero fatigue to an extent. Now, you know, either like Marvel, fine, 23 film installments, now 24 with Black Widow, I think, plus the TV series, which other than Loki, maybe a part of WandaVision, but definitely not the back half of WandaVision, I kind of feel like it's all very samey. But Loki is, I think, a step in the correct direction, taking it in a completely new space. And I think DC has, you know, historically struggled in the superhero sphere, especially compared to Marvel, because it takes itself too seriously. Now, whether you like Zack Snyder or you don't, you know, you can say about his films is a darker, grittier, more realistic take, in a way, on the DC universe. And a lot of fans don't like that.
But let's be fair as well. There was a point where that kind of thing was new and 100%. Was a little bit groundbreaking. It's just 100%. It's had its time, hasn't it?
Yeah, so I think it's good in a way. And James Gunn does this fantastically. He's able to take, you know, what people think is the serious elements of superhero movies and turn them into absolutely comedy. Because let's face it, at times it is comedy. Like when you actually list people's powers, what they've been like in comics. I like the way that this film sort of is taking us back to comic book movies being silly. And that is something that needs to be said time and time again. This film is a joke. It's a very hilarious joke that goes on for 2 hours. One where I think, and James Gunn's very good at this, no one knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were. No one knew who they were. Like, comic book wise, they had like a few runs here and there. But if you were to talk to any, you know, even average Marvel fans, they would probably struggle to name you the full Guardians lineup. They probably wouldn't know, you know, some of the characters there. And he made those characters household names. You know, Rocket Raccoon, you know, come on. That these characters now who are loved, Groot, right? Groot. He's done something very similar here, and he's done it very, very well, which is he takes completely obscure comic book Z-list villains and actually gives them a bit of character, gives them a bit of soul, gives them a bit of heart, makes them relatable in some instances. I can't believe that, you know, you can even relate to a giant shark in this film. You know, he just wants some friends. And
how is that not who John was?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Maybe I should have called him King Shark. But yeah, like I actually love this film. And I really wanted to see it in the cinema. The action is fantastic. The effects are brilliant. The character development of, once again, Harley is great. But I think Idris Elba gives his best performance for a long time as Bloodsport. I love the supporting cast. I love how visceral and violent it is. I will say that other than Deadpool, which obviously is Marvel's answer to this in a way, I feel like this takes it to a new level. I like Deadpool and I like Deadpool 2. I think Deadpool 1 is better than Deadpool 2. But, you know, we reviewed that here and we gave it a decent, you know, review. But this to me feels like a more realistic version of that in terms of violence, in terms of what would actually happen if these terrible sort of villains tried to take on an army. If anyone's seen The Boys on Amazon, which is also a sort of very visceral, violent take on superheroes and the institution of superheroes, there's a lot of links between this and The Boys. And I think anyone who's a fan of that show will really love this film. So if you haven't seen it and you've seen The Boys, definitely go see this film. This film sort of mimics that in a way. The humor's there, the violence is there, the action's there. I think this is DC's best film. I think this is the best film they have released. So for that reason, I'm going to give it 5 bloobs because it deserves it. It's funny.
Look, I mean, that's fine. You can give it 5 bloobs. That's more than justifiable. But don't give it 5 bloobs because it's DC's best film.
Oh,
give it
no, 5 no, bloobs
because the film deserves five bloobs.
It gets 5 bloobs because it deserves 5 bloobs. But in turn, that makes DC's then. Best film. That's the film it is. It's the best one they've done. And anyone who knows, you know, has listened to us and followed us, you know, I'm sure John wishes he could be here because he's a big DC fan and he's had his own criticisms, but also his plaudits for some of the DC films, even the latest Snyder Cut of, you know, the Justice League, which we both said was a vast improvement upon the Joss Whedon version. But this film to me feels like the right sort of space that DC should be operating in. And hopefully there's more installments in the future. The thing about this film is it doesn't need a sequel, you know, and this is what's great about the Suicide Squad is interchangeable characters can come in and out of this squad, take on different random villains and just have a bookended film. And they could happen every 3 or 4 years that we could have a new release. And I feel it would work. There's something here which I think is very special, which could be harnessed. And then maybe if James Gunn is up for it, and I think he's integral to this, he has to come back to do more. Because clearly, if you look at 2016 Suicide Squad and this, and they both have similar source material to work with, the gap in quality between the two films is staggering. It's mind-blowing how much better this is to that.
2016 one was like cut to shit, wasn't it? Like that was not the intention of the film.
Well, let me tell you this. Anyone who sits there and thinks there's a Snyder cut, and there is something going around called the Reeves cut of the original Suicide Squad, it's not there. It's not there, guys. We know Zack Snyder's was 4 hours, so obviously there was stuff there. There is not hours and hours more of material for that Suicide Squad film. It is probably still going to be pretty trash. So I think just character-wise, this film is so much better than it. And it's a bit of a triumph for DC. And I'm glad, in a way, that Marvel fired James Gunn and then rehired him because it's the best of both worlds. Not only did we get Guardians 3 now being helmed by James Gunn, we also have a fun Guardians-esque journey in the DC universe. So Guardians, it's a win-win for me, Gareth.
Guardians X.
So that's our general thoughts. A 4 from Gareth, a 5 from me. We're going to have a quick advert break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some plot details, favourite characters, and what we hope for the future of this franchise. Hello. Quick advert here to say that Fan Critical, if you haven't noticed, has, you know, spread its wings, you know, thrown its polka dots out there, called upon a horde of rats. Something like that. And if the Horde of Rats were new shows, that's kind of what it is. We've got loads of new shows.
I'll tell you what it's like. It's like being a giant starfish that has released lots of little versions of starfish of itself.
Yeah.
To take over the hordes.
In a way. Are you saying that we zombify our listeners? Because if you are, I think we do. No, in all seriousness,
yes.
We've got new shows. Check them out. You know, we've got the old favourites. We've got Worst of Netflix. We've got How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That? You know, we've also got Something Old, Something New, which is a show from Lucy and Emma where they review sort of something from the past and something new that they've been watching. Of course, there is the brilliant show, and I am biased, 60 Minutes to Midnight, which features myself, Gareth and John as we talk about what we've been watching. What we're looking forward to. Sometimes it's film and TV related. Sometimes it's absolute garbage. And other times, in fact, all the time, we're drinking whiskey. So that is a great little fun show that we do. And of course, we still have our classic film and TV reviews. We gave you a review of Black Widow last month. This month, we're doing Suicide Squad. Next month, who knows? We'll release a schedule soon. If you do enjoy this content, please do subscribe. And most importantly, leave us a review. We really do appreciate reviews on any platform. You can do it in blueberries or stars. Unfortunately, they will call it stars, but just imagine it as blueberries and you'll be fine.
It does convert quite neatly. I've done the maths on it.
Straight conversion. Patreon.com/fancritical. Now, Patreon is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It allows you guys to give us some dollary dues to make these new shows.
Or regular
occasionally
dollars,
we'll also well. Yeah, or regular dollars. Occasionally we will, of course, release some content on there. If you go on there, you see what you get. There's loads of cast episodes on there at the moment. There's more on their way, we promise. There's lots of stuff going on there, but most importantly, it enables us to make shows for you guys, because of course this content is free. So any donations is, you know, greatly appreciated. So thank you to all of our lovely Patreons. We love you, and we love your donations. So thank you so much. Enough advertising. Let's get into the plot of James Gunn's Suicide Squad. All right, let's get into it. Let's storm the beach. And that is how this film begins.
We were watching Save It Private Ryan, weren't we?
Of course, definitely. That is the film. Yeah. So start off prison, way it works. You know, for anyone who doesn't know how Suicide Squad works, you get told pretty explicitly in the first couple of minutes, hey, you do this mission for us. You get a take 5 to 10 years off your sentence or something like that. If you try and run away, we've got an implant in your brain, which I will press and it will explode. So don't run away. Try and complete the mission. A ragtag bunch of, you know, cons or DC villains is assembled to take down a government on a sort of Cuban-like country, would you say, Gareth, called Corto Maltese.
Corto Maltese, that's interesting. Generic Spanish-speaking Caribbean island.
Island, yeah. Bizarre. Anyway, so there's been a coup there and they need to shut down this coup. The team that we see at the start, and I want to talk about the opening of the film because I think the opening of the film is fantastic. We see Colonel Rick Flagg, who is, of course, in the 2016 Suicide Squad. And then we see Harley Quinn, Captain Boomerang, also reprising their roles from 2016 Suicide Squad. We see Mongal, Weasel, TDK, Javelin, Savant, and they all basically have to try and storm this beach. And as soon as Weasel jumps out of the plane, he's dead instantly because he can't swim. So you're dead, Gareth. Game over.
Well, can't swim.
So. The others make it to the shore, and then a whole army descends upon them. And this is where, if you didn't know what you were getting when you sat down to watch this film and you're thinking, oh, it's just another superhero movie. When a bullet literally takes someone's face off and blood splatters everywhere, you know what sort of film you get.
We weren't watching that, were we?
Yeah, Face Off, Nick Cage. I'd love him in this film. He'd be a great
he would fit
Z-list
in well.
Villain.
He would fit in very well. And John Travolta, why not? Chuck them all in.
Get them all in there.
John Travolta just as himself. Imagine that.
Just walking around.
Oh, he wouldn't be able to swim.
Probably not. He can dance, though. it was a great opening to the film. Very violent. There's literally these guys are getting torn to shreds. Bullets literally ripping them in half at times. What did you think to the opening of this film, Gareth?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was chuckling away. I've got to give a quick shout out to TDK. I think is my favorite.
Boy.
That was
TDK.
He was amazing. I mean, just the comic value of his arms detaching and then just sort of lightly slapping the army, the enemy army. It was incredible.
And they're like, "Hey, stop it. Quit it." It's so good.
So annoying.
I mean, what's great about that character is they're in the plane before they, you know, start this mission, and you get in some classic James Gunn dialogue, like, "What's your name, man?" TDK. Your name's TDK, like the letters. And then Boomerang goes, "All names have letters, you dickhead," like in his Australian accent. There's some great banter going on in there, and you're like, who the fuck is TDK? What is his power? Like, you see Javelin there, you're like, oh, I know what he is. He's fucking some sort of Aquaman bullshit. And then you see TDK. I love the way that Rick Flag's like, TDK, you're up. And then he goes, okay, I got this. And he detaches his arms. They go and just literally start slapping these guys around the head. It is classic James Gunn. That is, you know, Groot-esque humor. Some of it's just genius. Also, just a shout out to when they start shooting his arms, which are now obviously flying in the air, and he's writhing in pain on the floor because they're shooting his arms.
Platoon-esque moment there. Very dramatic.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, man.
He's great. It's a shame he didn't last.
Oh, the comedy value of keeping him alive was... It could have got a bit old, but it could have been so good throughout the film. But I guess there's a lot of characters in this film, so some just have to die. So as I said, we lost Weasel. We lose a lot of them here. We lose Mongal. Savant tries to flee, gets his head blown off, whatever. Eventually, you're left with just...
A little bit harsh.
A little bit. Well, yeah, don't do it. Don't run away. Yeah? So you've been warned. Do not run away. But we're left with Flag, Quinn, who gets captured. Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn, sorry. But this is all a ruse.
Who plays Harley Quinn?
On the other beach... Yeah, who does play Harley Quinn? On the other beach, we have a second B squad, or what is really the A squad, of Bloodsport, King Shark, Ratcatcher 2, Polka Dot Man, and Peacemaker. So straight away, the Suicide Squad is massive, and there's lots of fatalities, which I absolutely love. The basic premise is they need to stop this military coup, and on this island, there is a secret experiment that they've been working on, which the US government does not want to fall into this coup's hands, this military coup who has taken over the island. So they basically send the Suicide Squad in to destroy all evidence of said experiments. Chaos ensues. I want to talk about the characters, Gareth, because that's to me where this film excels. Let's go through the characters. The ones that survived this opening salvo, okay? Who was your favourite character?
For me, I've got to say, one thing that I love about this film is how good is it having a black Englishman as your kind of star of the show, in a way. Like, we've had kind of years and years and years of it just being the like blonde American guy is always going to be the champion. So it's awesome having Idris Elba being front and center, and he is amazing. I love him. I love
He's
him.
Very
in
good.
This. Do you know what I was thinking about him? Actually, I was thinking, as bizarre as this sounds, because this is this film is as far removed as you could possibly get, it was making me think he really could be James Bond.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's been a long-standing rumor that Elba could have been Bond. And might still be after Daniel Craig. Now, you know, James Bond purists out there are like, no, that can't happen, which is ridiculous. There's also talk of James Bond being female as the next Bond. So, you know, hold on to your hats, people. Put a pin in that, because I think the next James Bond is going to be very interesting. Of course, I believe the front runner is Richard Madden, you know, of Game of Thrones fame, Robb Stark, also of Bodyguard fame, which has taken the world by storm. So, put a pin in that. I would love to see Elba as the next Bond.
I think
he'd
be
he's
so
got
good.
The physique.
My only thing is,
he's got the charisma.
He's
got the charisma.
He'd play him in a similar way to Daniel Craig, though, and that's the only reason that
brutish.
I think he might not be. Hands on.
But I
love him. I love Bloodsport as a character. He's excellent. He's my favorite. I do like him, but at this point I also loved the mystery about the polka dot guy.
And bizarre.
I was like, what is this? Like, what's happening here? I think they blew their load a little bit early personally. I think there could have been a little bit more mystique and a little bit more intrigue created, and instead it was like, oh, what's happened? Oh, right. Okay. Yep. You've just told us. Okay. Done.
Yeah. Do you know what in I mean? A way, I think I think the mystique with him comes with the fact that with Polka Dot, the fact that you eventually get revealed that he just sees his mum all the time. It's genius. It's absolute genius. And it looks hilarious. So, you know, Polka Dot Man can't not see his mum because his mum did this to him. He's a very troubled individual who has interdimensional polka dot powers, which makes no sense. And every time he looks at people, he just sees his mum. And it's absolutely fantastic the way they use it in the film. They use it two or three times, and I think it's a great little joke and a great stylistic visual choice by James Gunn. I think he's a great character. I think John Cena as Peacemaker, wow. Obviously a wrestler. We know The Rock's done it. We know Dave Bautista's done it. John Cena, this is the best thing I've seen him in. He is fantastic as Peacemaker. What an ironic character. Did you know, Gareth, that Peacemaker was the inspiration for like the Watchmen sort of characters?
Okay.
So if you actually look at the way that Peacemaker's sort of this sort of real guy, just like, but he's got this crazy warped mentality, funny costume, kind of the inspiration for like Watchmen. And he does seem like a Watchmen character to me. Like I could see him fitting in the Watchmen universe.
Perfectly. He does. It's almost like a homemade helmet thing. Like
exactly. Exactly. He's part of the original Minutemen, you know? So for me, that's great.
He's not joining the podcast.
He's not joining the podcast, no. But yeah, I thought he was fantastic. And his sort of repertoire with Bloodsport and their sort of one-upmanship that goes on throughout the film is very funny. Yeah. We'll talk about Peacemaker in a bit because the end credit scene alludes to a bit more with that character and something that I'm very excited for. But I have to say, the whole team, but I love King Shark. I thought he was brilliant in this film. Sylvester Stallone voicing a giant shark. People might think, what the fuck are you talking about? But it works. It works on so many levels. He has a bit of fucking heart and soul, this character, to the point of later on in the film, I was like, if he dies, I'm going to fucking go mental. I do not want this giant shark to die. I've seen King Shark in some other animated series with Harley Quinn, also a fantastic character, that iteration of King Shark. But wow, I wanted to see him make to the end of this film. And as we're in spoiler territory, he does make it. And I kind of felt like this was, it reminded me of when I saw Hulk in Avengers, that sort of vibe to him. He feels a little indestructible, which is like the Hulk, but he also has these comedic moments that just work on so many levels. And, you know, compared to Hulk, you know, this guy also rips people in half and devours them whole, which is genius and brilliant.
Yeah. To be fair, like the first time you meet him and he's reading a book upside down. It's terrific. And he's just trying to convince everybody how smart he is. And he's like, me enjoy book so much. It's again, honestly, it's like, I remember when I gave John a copy of Harry Potter. That's the exact same thing that happened.
Yeah. What I will say is,
he came in upside down.
Do you think Stallone's just playing himself here? Yeah. Me enjoy books so much. They probably just recorded him, not even in a booth. They just recorded him in
the break room.
Day-to-day life.
He was in the break room.
Yeah. What are you doing there, Sylvester? Me read book. Good. Good. Yes. Can we go record the rest of the lines now? Great character. And you think it's going to be a gimmick, but this is what I said about James Gunn and these characters, and we'll get on to another one in a minute. The way he gives them heart and soul, and these are characters that just have no right to have the amount of depth that they do. But the way he can do that and give them, you know, personality and backstory and make you feel for them. Like, you go from a scene where King Shark is about to eat Ratcatcher, another fantastic character, by the way, which we'll get onto. We go to a scene there where it's funny and whatever. And he's literally getting blasted with a shotgun. And you found out it's just because he's got no friends. And he's like, I want to be your friend. And you know, it's a really sweet little moment. And you're like, it's very cute. Oh, yeah. And you've just gone from him literally about to devour her. It's just, it's great. It's great stuff. And Ratcatcher 2, who I didn't think this would be a sentence. This film, you know, gets its heart from Ratcatcher 2. Like, it doesn't make what I a weird sentence say, to say.
This isn't a sentence Go you on. Thought you'd say, but it makes you care about Portuguese people.
Yeah, good
because yeah, but it she is excellent. She's very good. I think that in the end, really, she's the most important character.
Yeah, in a way, she's the sort of connective tissue between Bloodsport and his obviously frayed relationship with his daughter, which he sees in Ratcatcher 2 in a way. She's looking for a father figure because, you know, her father died. Who is Ratcatcher 1? Little tidbit for the listeners out there and also for you, Gareth. Ratcatcher 2 is obviously a completely fictional character, in fact, of the fiction that she is not in any comics. No. But Ratcatcher is in comics, and that's obviously who her father is, you know. And in this film, we see Ratcatcher 1 played by Taika Waititi. So... That you saw that at the end. Do you know who else Taika Waititi plays in this film?
Does he play Boomerang?
No, obviously not. You know who Boomerang is. It's Starro.
Does he play the Boomerang?
He plays Starro the Conqueror.
How?
He voices Starro. He doesn't walk around. If anyone's thinking right now,
he's not that big. I can tell you he's not that big. Yeah. I'm almost certain.
Imagine that. I know how your brain works. You're sitting there thinking about mocap and you're sitting there thinking about Taika Waititi walking around like that starfish at the end, just smashing things, giant Lego bricks.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, so he plays Star as well. But yeah, Ratcatcher for me grounds the film a little bit, which sounds ridiculous. She gives it something like that, just the bit of heart that I was talking about that I think is needed because... You've got these fantastical characters all around her, especially like Harley, for example. But yeah, she just brings it right down to an emotional level. And she has a good relationship with King Should Shark we, as well, which makes that a great relationship for the future, potentially.
True. Should we talk a little bit about Harley?
Oh, yeah. Margot Robbie. So interesting facts about Margot Robbie, Gareth. She lives in Clapham, or did live in Clapham. I don't know if she's there now. Which is where I lived in London. Saw her out once or twice. So just saying that, seeing her out and about day-to-day Good. Life.
I'm not sure those are the, I'm not sure that's a fact.
They're facts.
You've gone interesting facts about Margot Robbie. She may or may not live in this part of London which I sort in. Of used to live. You didn't really live in Clapham.
I literally lived 5-minute walk from Clapham, so yeah, don't even
well that's not yeah. Clapham is it and
5 minutes
and I saw her once or twice. She's from Queensland, so there you go.
No, yeah,
that's a fact.
She is.
It's not very a fact good one, but it is but a fact.
I thought she was, once again, and I say this in every podcast where we talk about DC stuff, she is the most impressively cast character in the DC universe for me. I could not envisage a better Harley Quinn from the Harley Quinn that I know from comic, animated series, iterations. She is fantastically crazy, but also I think her action work and her stunt work is phenomenal. There is a sequence in this film where she's being tortured, she breaks free, and if you thought you were watching John Wick 3, I would say that would be a completely fair comparison because her handling of weaponry and just martial arts is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, but
and
the thing is, she
yeah, go on.
She had Chuck Norris being her stunt double in this one, I think.
Yeah, that's true. So like-for-like replacements.
Yeah, you couldn't tell. But if you pause it at the right moment, you can see there's a, she's got a beard.
Now... no, she's brilliant, and everything about her character is great. I thought the emancipation of Harley Quinn and Birds of Prey was a very stylish, fun film. The thing about that film is the violence is very, not PG, because I think it's a bit higher than that. She is like hitting people over the head with a giant mallet and stuff. But in this, she is a cold-blooded killer, absolutely obliterating people. You know, body parts, broken arms, heads being blown off. She is going to town, and it suits her character so much better to be this violent. She is this violent. That is her character. And, you know, is she the perfect DC character for you, Gareth? Is she your favourite DC character?
I think she might be, yeah.
In the universe. Obviously, you love Batman as a comic book character, for example, but you don't like Ben Affleck's Batman.
Yeah. Let's be fair. Batman is a thing all of its own, really. Like,
correct.
Of course it's DC, but it's almost like it's Batman's got its own universe. Like that. Oh, yeah. Stand that aside. Harley Quinn is so much fun. And Margot Robbie, she's definitely a person that I just love watching in every way. Like she's such a good actor, and she
brings an energy to things that, you know, and it, obviously she chooses the roles that she plays, but she has such a vibrant energy in, you know, delivery of dialogue and stuff like that. I think in this film, it's so much better when she gets put back with the squad, because there's a bit of this film where she's on her own, kind of. And, you know, I think she operates and plays off of people so much better when she's around those characters. Like when she's interrogating, you know, she says some great one-liners. You know, her repertoire with the other characters, the other Suicide Squad members, is fantastic. So maybe that's why you didn't enjoy the sort of middle section of the film, Gaz, because she's sort of alone with this sort of Fidel Castro-like character.
Yeah, maybe. Although she did get one of her better action sequences on her own.
Oh, that is the best.
Shortly after.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
I was thinking during that, actually, there's a couple of guys that just sort of get a bump on the head, and that's it. They're out of the fight. Afterwards, you'd be like, thank fuck for that, because you'd get up and look around and all your mates have got their like faces
body parts
broken off.
Missing.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, body yeah. parts.
Yeah.
It's just a bop on the head, please.
They've done well. They've done well. I tell you who hasn't done well. The people who have had their face hugged by Starfish. So basically, this alien experiment that's been going on is Starro the Conqueror. And people might think, and I was watching this with my partner Mel, and she was like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, the whole film's a bit of like a what the fuck is this? She literally turned to me at one point and said, did the person who write this, were they on drugs? And I was kind of like, probably. It is kind of out there, but there's a lot of comic book grounding in this stuff. Like, the comic books are silly. Starro is the original villain that the Justice League fight. Now, he's a ridiculous character.
Yeah.
He's a giant fucking starfish.
Yeah.
Comics are silly. Like,
but
it's good when they lean into this silliness.
Well, this is the thing. This is maybe part of the issue that I had with the film. And like, let's be fair. I think we're very much picking holes, because I loved it. I had a great time watching the film.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to have,
I'm not picking holes. So
if I'm going to,
you're picking holes.
Well, yeah. If I'm going to bring some balance rather than us just having a giant hype off, I'll bring some balance to the table.
Hype.
Well. You know how it would be as well. If we did have John here, he'd be giving it two or three blueberries. I'd be balancing the two of you out.
I really think if John... This is why I'm upset John couldn't be on this podcast, because I I don't know what he would think of this film. I kind of sit there and think he might love it. But then I also think, what John am I getting today? He might hate it.
Well, this is true. And I think the thing that he might hate, which I didn't hate, but this is something that I do love.
Starro.
And the way but the way that like you can't say that they're taking the piss out of that as an idea, because everything that happens with Starro seems so sincere. Like, I would love if they went like, right, this is the bad guy. This is fucking mental. What is this? And you don't really get that. You get very sincere, like, we've got to save this city from this kaiju. I do like that they refer to him as a kaiju at one point.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, it's too sincere.
Yeah, I get it.
It's got to be more like, right, this is fucking insane. What's happening here?
I think maybe what could have done that and done what you wanted, just, you know, thinking about the film, is if Starro delivered some funny lines himself, because he's quite serious in terms of, he's like, hey, you've been torturing me. And then he's like, this city is mine, just constantly. Yeah. And of course, the starfish himself, Starro, like when he's just walking around smashing buildings, is hilarious. So just the actual movement of it is funny. But if you've got Taika Waititi voicing him, maybe there should have been some funny lines in there. You know,
just give the actual starfish
comedy
a Kiwi accent, and
yes,
it would be
exactly
brilliant.
But they can't. Yeah, that's a Marvel copy in a way, isn't it?
I don't like the thing as well, how he communicates through like one of his drones.
That's very
like,
Doctor
that
Who.
Me.
That's very Doctor Who. Oh, very Doctor Who.
Such a good call. That's exactly what it is. It's Doctor Who. And like when sort of Starro hurts his leg, and then everybody that he's controlling starts jumping around on one leg. I was like,
Doctor Who.
Fucking
100%.
Hell.
I think it's good to have a silly villain like this. But you're right. Maybe it could have been sillier. I just love how silly the starfish looks. And you know, James Gunn is known for his creative ways of defeating villains, let's face it. Dance Off to Save the Universe in Guardians, and now there's a horde of rats going into Starro's eye after Harley has pierced it and then eating him from the inside out. Now, say what you want about the man, that's creative. That's some creative death of a kaiju there.
It's a bit obvious, isn't it?
Yeah. I love this whole sequence. It's just fun. It's just, once again, going back to the fun element of it. I mean, the other elements in there, which I think are that we shouldn't skip over, is the fact that Peacemaker is so hell-bent on keeping the peace that he is willing to kill his own team members to do so.
That's a decent character trait, like in terms of character depth.
Very good.
I quite like that. And
he even
know,
says, you know, he does say it, Gareth, doesn't he? He says, I'll kill every man, woman, and child if it means keeping the peace.
It's a good line. It's a good line.
And then Ratcatcher turns to Polkadot Man going, I thought you were the crazy one. It's so good.
And he goes,
I am. Yeah. So there's that, which happens, which is chaos. And then obviously Starro dies. And the film sort of resolves itself. Like, it's just a fun time. I can't say enough how much fun I had watching this film. And how happy I am that DC found something. But when I think about DC and I think about, like, what their strategy is. Like, what is their strategy? It feels to me like there's a dartboard and they're just throwing fucking darts at it and there's no connective tissue between anything. Because you've got, like, the Snyderverse. Yeah, throw a dart at that. That didn't work. What about the Snyder Cut? Oh, yeah, throw a dart at that. That's a bit better. Shazam. throw a dart at that. Oh, kid friendly, but kind of funny. Yeah, it kind of worked. And then, you know, Wonder Woman, they throw a dart at that. Oh, we'll make another one of them. And then Suicide Squad 2016, Suicide Squad 2021. Like, you sit there and just go, the whole universe just feels like a mess. You know, it feels like such a mess. Like, it makes my brain feel untidy when I think about this universe. Whereas I look at Marvel and I'm like...
Does it have to link up like Marvel does?
No,
like,
no, it doesn't.
In a way, I feel like Marvel's linking up of everything causes some problems as well. Like, it, you sometimes feel like, fuck, I should have watched like 18 other films before I watched this film. That's
for
a pain
sure.
in the ass. And there are things that it's like, this doesn't quite make sense if you think about it. Like, how can this coexist in a world where this other thing has coexisted? So maybe DC's dartboard option isn't a bad route. Like, you know, just take each film on its own merits.
And I will say, like I said at the start, this feels like the most translatable to, oh, this is just an issue of the comic. You know, this is just like issue number 67. And they've turned it into a film. And then another one just exists, you know, issue 85, they turn that into a film or something. And it just exists in its own world and characters drop in and out of it. And that's why I liked it. It did have that sort of element of don't worry about anything else. You know, this is what it is. It's just this self-contained story. And it was great. I mean, look, do you want to see another one of these? I mean, what's your take on there being a new Suicide Squad? Maybe in like 3 or 4 years' time? Because we know that Guardians 3 is James Gunn's priority. That's in, I think, principal photography now. And then that will probably release in like, I think it's slated for like 2023. So realistically, you wouldn't get another Suicide Squad till 2025. If Marvel even released James Gunn to do that. But Warner Brothers have said that they want James Gunn back to do more films with them. Whether it's Suicide Squad or not is a different discussion. Do you want to see another one of these?
I'd definitely watch another one of these, yeah. I'm less tied emotionally to it than I would be Guardians.
But did you think Guardians 2 was worse than Guardians 1?
Yes.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mm.
I did, but I still care about those characters and I still want to see those characters and I still want to see more of what that story has to offer. I feel like, honestly, if Suicide Squad came back and went, here's a brand new story that has, like, it doesn't connect at all to this one, I would be okay with that. Like, I would be able to enjoy that. Whereas if Guardians did that, I would be furious. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. This feels like you're less attached to some of the characters. However, I will say this right now. I want to see my King Shark. I need my King Shark fix. I need my Harley fix. And Bloodsport, I think. And even Ratcatcher. I mean, they leave it with this core cast at the end. Obviously, we lose Polka Dot Man, which I thought was quite sad. But to leave it with this four at the end and Sebastian the Rat, you know, let's not forget him. He's an absolute legend. He was great, like, throughout the film. Like, they kept going, like, is that rat waving at me? And he's like, I think so.
Why does he keep waving at people? That's fucking weird.
Friendly. I love it. I absolutely love Sebastian.
Yeah. You told me that you hated him, and then I told you that you're Sebastian the Rat, and now you've changed your tune and think that you love him.
Yeah. And Gareth, the weasel survives. So he's not dead. So there's a chance for you to make some more big bucks in the sequel. Yeah.
I mean, a bit weird because they did reveal that he's killed 27 children or something.
Yeah. He's a seriously fucked up character, but he is bizarre looking and I love him. Just like you. Bizarre looking, but I love you. Now, let's talk about the post-credits scene. Because...
Yeah. I nearly missed it. You could have given me a warning, by the way. You could have said, hey, heads up.
I'm not holding your hand through these situations. You've got to be an adult, yeah? Well, turns out Peacemaker's alive.
Yeah.
He's alive. And that is because If you didn't know, listeners, and I'm sure you do because you're all very knowledgeable, but there is a HBO Max series featuring Peacemaker coming out in January 2022. Don't know how many parts, but
so I had to bring him back to life for that
100%, because Peacemaker is going to have his own show, and I for one am very excited for that show. I think if it goes along the same sorts of lines as this film, with the violence, the character of Peacemaker is fascinating to me, because I think even though in this film you see him follow through on his actions to a point of killing, you know, Flag, but also, you know, wanting to keep the peace, he's trying to kill people just to, you know, almost kills Ratcatcher too. I think there's moments here where he wavers on that decision, and I think there is a lot of room for that character to grow. He strikes me like a character from The Boys. Once again, if you haven't seen The Boys on Amazon, stop what you're doing right now, go watch it. If you're bored of superhero stuff, go watch The Boys, and it will completely change your perspective on the genre, because I think that show does some really interesting things that Suicide Squad definitely not rips but leans into.
Is the boys your new leftovers? Like, you are just going to refer to The Boys constantly,
yeah,
and relate it to everything that we watch.
The Boys, it's got some very good reviews, go watch it. I don't think it's Leftovers level, because Leftovers is a completely different show. But as I said, if you want some superhero chaos with super violent gore, a very aggressive characters and some great acting, go watch The Boys. It's essentially about the fact that superheroes are a corporation, and there are different tiers of this corporation, and there's like the Ultimate Seven, who are like the best superheroes and go to all the big jobs. But then you have mini crews who are hired out to go to different regions and protect different areas. It's very corrupt. It's very fun. Go watch it. But yeah, Peacemaker, very much looking forward to that show. I think we will definitely do some sort of review on that show, whether it's a season review or an episode by episode. We'll have to wait and see. But I know John would be keen on that as well. Any other thoughts on James Gunn's Suicide Squad there, Weasel Man?
It's good to have James Gunn back doing what he does best, making quality movies that are a lot of fun. Like, they're just a lot of fun. That's the thing, isn't it? Like, there are times where you want to watch a movie that's challenging and thought-provoking, and there are times where you want to watch movies that are just fun. This is really fun. First half is particularly fun. Narrative might not be its strength, but it carries the fun, carries it enough of the way.
Yeah, I think James Gunn makes films that I want to watch. He makes films that I don't know that I want to watch. You know, this isn't a film that I go, oh yeah, that might be good. Storming this island, you know, his characters. Turns out you watch it and you go, that was brilliant. Like, he has a very deft skill, as I said, taking characters that are ridiculous and making you care about them. And, you know, as silly as it is and it is fun, you do care about the fortunes of some of these characters. There would be no point of just killing off these characters for no reason. He gives you a reason to care when they die, like Polka Dot Man, like Rick Flag, you know. These are characters that he gives a bit of heart and soul, and I really enjoyed this film. I hope he continues to do this sort of dance between Marvel and DC. I think the superhero genre is the better for him doing that. And it keeps it fresh. It needs him.
If it's going to keep going, it needs him.
I mean, there will be a time where these movies stop. I don't see it being anytime soon, but if it's going to keep our interest and pique our interest, then we need people like James Gunn who are willing to take a risk, and we need the studios who are willing to take a risk on someone like James Gunn. However, I do not think it's a risk now to gamble on him, because I think he is the best, you know, writer in terms of comic timing in the superhero genre, and I think he's definitely the one that you would turn to freshen up the genre if you're DC or Marvel or any other superhero franchise that might need someone. So, yeah. Anyway, that's Suicide Squad, guys. 5 from me, a 4 from Gaz, John, TBC. We'll let you know in the next 60 minutes. I'm sure we'll talk about it again on 60 minutes when John has caught up and is able to join us.
We will dedicate one of the minutes that we have.
One of the many minutes of the 60 to talk about what John thinks about Suicide Squad. But you know what we want to know? We want to know what you think of Suicide Squad. So do let us know. You can email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. As I said, please do leave us a review. Let us know what you think about our reviews of things. If you think they're shit, fair enough. But, you know, if you, send us an email saying that. Don't leave.
If you think that, email us.
Yeah, if you think that one, email us. Yeah, so good. If you think we're brilliant, then that's a review. Also, you can email us that as well. Send both. If you've got email time, do both.
And review. Sometimes.
And if you're super dedicated, patreon.com/fancritical. The link is in the show notes. Please do look at that. Get some bonus content. Sponsor us to basically create more, hopefully, good free content for you guys, because this is all free at the end of the day. And this isn't our day job. We actually have other jobs. And we're in lockdown, you know, like most of the world is. So cheer us up, if anything, like James Gunn did with this film. Okay, great. Thank you, my weasel companion, for joining me. I'm glad you survived. Literally, he sounds like that. So maybe you did the dubbing for that character.
And thank you, Sebastian the Rat, for hosting.
I'm just waving. You can't see, but I'm just waving at you.
Why?
You know, why? Because I'm friendly. Yeah? Okay, guys. Thanks very much. We'll catch you on the next show next week. Bye, everybody.
Adios, amigos.
Let's get it. This is suicide.
Well, that's kind of our thing.
I'm a superhero!
Where's my dad?
I'm going to get you out of your life.
I'm going to get you out of here alone.
Ratatouille, what do you got?
Bird.
Now, stay off the comm.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.